This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora koutou, I'm Paul Allen, inviting you to join me for Resilient Otago, brought to you every month by Emergency Management Otago. We'll discuss natural hazards, preparing for and responding to emergencies. Everyone has a part to play in being prepared and creating a more resilient community. Join us for Resilient Otago, Monday morning at 9:30 and Wednesday at 12:30 and online at oar.org.nz. Tēnā koutou katoa, no o te pōti ahau, ko Paul Allen, toko ekoa, kei te rākau whakamarumaru o tākau, ahau e mahi ana, tēnā koutou katoa. Greetings everyone, my name is Paul Allen, I'm the Resilience Advisor for Emergency Management Otago, based here in Dunedin. Welcome to Resilient Otago, a program about natural hazards, preparing for emergencies, and how we respond to them. Today's episode will give us insight into Emergency Management Otago, who it is and what it does at a local, regional and national level. With me today is the Group Manager for Emergency Management Otago, Matt Alley. Kia ora, Matt.
Morning, Paul, and morning listeners out there.
Yeah. Thanks for taking time to speak to us today. Firstly, the most of us have heard of civil defence in the past to some extent, but what is Emergency Management Otago and how is it different or is it different from civil defence?
Yeah, look, good question. Essentially, it's the same but a little bit different. As you can appreciate over time that civil defence, we've moved on a little bit from tilly lanterns and carrier pigeons, you know, to the use of sat phones and GPS devices and things like that. And over time, things change and titles change as well. So, you know, we've really grown into a sector now that that is a legitimate career pathway for emergency management professionals and the like.
Mm. It's certainly changed over, especially over the last few years in that regards too. How does Emergency Management Otago work with local government? Because, I mean, that's a huge part of what emergency management does.
Absolutely. And look, emergency management is a key responsibility and function of local government. Local government are best keyed into understanding their communities and tailoring responses and activities to meet those local needs. Although it's also probably key to say that although we have a dedicated team of emergency management professionals here in Otago, you know, the staff that we have, the amount of staff that we have would not be large enough to manage any large-scale response by ourselves. So we're hugely reliant on local and regional councils to provide staff and expertise during difficult times during emergencies.
So what happens with these local government when there is an emergency happening? How does it fit in? How does it actually work together?
Sure. So look, there's different things here, and depending on the type of emergency. So as an example, if there's a wildfire, and obviously that's the responsibility of Fire and Emergency New Zealand to deal with. But we have responsibilities as a support agency there to meet welfare needs, or perhaps assist with communications, things like that. If we're looking at things that are directly within our purview, so earthquakes, floods, etc., and again, depending on the severity of these events, we would either support communities, have a role in coordination, or if there's a declared state of emergency, if things have got really serious, we'd take a more of a directive approach to coordinating key resources and agencies in terms of, you know, an holistic approach to any of these scenarios.
So a question about that, declared states of emergency, what is that?
So that's an instance where something has happened that is beyond the capability of any one local agency. So it might be a little bit too much for the police or FENS or any of those agencies to deal with. We might not have the appropriate amount of resources in a particular space to deal with something. And there needs to be a high degree of coordination to deal with that. That being said, there's additional things that come with a state of emergency that give civil defence controllers and other professional staff the ability to control areas, requisition things if they require, things like that. So it just gives us a few extra tools in the in the toolkit that wouldn't normally exist, particularly within that legislation that sort of assists us in dealing with, you know, what we're faced with.
I suppose an example of that is when we've had large fires which have resulted in evacuations and things like that. They've needed extra support for flooding events where there's been serious properties. It's beyond one agency's control.
That's right. And, I mean, sometimes it's not safe for people to go back into their properties, and it's difficult sometimes to communicate that. The first thing you want to do is go back in, and perhaps if you've had pets there or whatever, and you want to go check on those. And sometimes, you know, it's just not safe to do that. Mm. So it just gives us a little bit of, you know, legislative power to cordon things off or deal with things just for the greater good.
Mm. So there's other emergency services out there, like we've mentioned, Fire and Emergency, New Zealand Police, Defence Force, Red Cross. How does Emergency Management Otago work with these other agencies as well?
Look, probably firstly, we maintain really strong relationships with these agencies outside of response. It's really challenging to manage any of these incidents if you're in a room full of strangers. So we have really good, and even on a personal level, really good relationships with those organisations. These agencies are also actively involved in defining our CEDM group's joint objectives and the things that we focus on as well. So we're actually working collectively across these areas, and that actually sort of X out through our work programs as well. So they certainly have a say in those, and we work on those as collaboratively as we can. And not to say, I mean, it probably hasn't been mentioned explicitly here, but just at this point, you know, the role of iwi Māori probably can't be underestimated in that context either. They make up a huge part of what we do in response and day to day as well. They're their marae are often some of the more resilient places around. They offer excellent shelter and care in the community, and they have sometimes a generational approach to response for particular tasks and things like that. Look, in my view, is probably something that we can all aspire to.
There's certainly some great examples of where marae have been actively involved in emergencies and responding to their own communities, and by community, their communities, the geographic areas that they're in, especially with marae, and the active engagement with local iwi has been very good as well, I believe.
Yes, no, we're very lucky there.
So, Emergency Management Otago, how does it fit into the wider national approach to emergencies?
So there are 16 civil defence emergency management groups in the country. Each region is required to have one within legislation. In our case here in Otago, all of the Otago councils have got together and said, look, let's create this one entity to have a collaborative approach across the whole region to emergency management. And let's make it a collective responsibility as well for the whole region and how we come together. Essentially, we are the link in the chain between the national agency, being NEMA, the National Emergency Management Agency, and local councils, groups, and how things happen on the ground. So we're that regional coordination piece, that link in the chain between local and national.
Right, and I suppose also a connection between local and community as well, just building that relationship too.
Absolutely, and I know we'll talk about this a little bit later, but like the formal response partners, those relationships exist outside of response as well, because again, you don't want to be dealing with people in the community that are complete strangers. It's helpful to have those enduring relationships before you get there.
There's an expectation from some people that there's an army of people in high-vis jackets sitting in a bunker somewhere waiting to respond to emergencies. How true is that, and what really happens?
Look, interesting comment there, Paul, and it's something I hear all the time. There is no army. As I mentioned earlier, we have a relatively small team here for the region the size of Otago. Apart from the council staff and professional organisations that are involved with us and have that mandate and that responsibility in response, we're hugely reliant on communities to meet their needs locally. And then broader than that, look, New Zealand's a small place and we maintain really strong relationships with other regions in the national agency. And as a national sector, we're quick to support and or send support into other regions. And as an example, just over the last couple of years, we've had our staff from Otago here deployed onto the West Coast on a number of occasions for weather events there and significant floods, as well as into Canterbury. And further north into Nelson, Tasman, for significant wildfires a number of years ago. So although you might ask the question, so what does that mean for once those people are out? Look, it does expose our staff to real events. It gives them a really good grounding and experience, and they get to bring that experience back to here to Otago to benefit the communities here. So it really is an excellent opportunity, even though in the worst context, to expose our staff to make them the best that they can be.
Mm. I mean, nothing beats that real experience, real events for as a training exercise. As much as it's bad for, means there's something bad going wrong for a lot of people. For us as professionals in the industry, we need that training to be able to lead in those roles when it's needed.
So oh, look, absolutely, that, without question.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned we've got a small team here in Otago. How many people work for us for Emergency Management Otago, and sort of roughly what do they do?
Sure. So we have a team of 18. Here, and they have a number of different roles. 10 of those staff are embedded out in the district councils and the city councils, and that is through the Waitaki District Council in Oamaru. We have a number of staff in Queenstown Lakes, Central Otago, Clutha and Dunedin City. And they are embedded within those councils and have enduring relationships with both within the councils and the local communities. They are our eyes and ears and boots on the ground. The other 8 staff that we have, myself included, are more Dunedin-based, and we worry about more defined regional activity and putting things together for those district staff so they can just go out there and deliver. So we certainly are, the back office that does all of that sort of grunt work that puts the stuff together, the different packages and products that we produce, we sort of do a lot of that work and support the frontline district staff to do what they do well.
Which then comes into, well, when there's an emergency, we're busy in our operation centres or the coordination centre. What happens when there's no emergencies? What do staff do?
Look, that's another good question, because, again, I'm asked that all the time. You haven't had a flood for a couple of years, so what have you been doing? And look, bottom line, we work every day to ensure that everyone is aware of the hazards that surround them and how they may be affected by these. We work with response professionals to ensure that they're well-trained and ready to go for an emergency. And then any facility or equipment is also ready to go. And to be honest, the lion's share of our work is in the community, working with and advocating for individuals, workplaces and communities so that they can take responsibility for themselves, their neighbours and whānau during an emergency.
So speaking of the community itself, is that we've all got a role to play, whether we're employed by a local council or whether we're emergency management staff. If you're a member of the community, what's your role? How does the community what do we expect the community to be doing in emergencies?
Sure. Well, look, more formally, we have a number of community response groups across the region. I think at the moment it's around 60, 64, I think. Now, these people work with our emergency management advisors in the districts to create response plans, resilience guides based on their local hazards and help promote preparedness within their communities. And often they are the subject matter experts of their communities as well. So they're a vital resource for us when we want to tap in and understand what makes a particular town or an area tick, or where, you know, as an example, where things flood or where it floods first or things like that. So those local communities are the excellent source of information for us, and we certainly find working in partnership with those communities is certainly to everyone's advantage. These groups also make themselves available during an event, and look, that can't be underestimated. I mean, when you think of quite often that, you know, their property or their family will be impacted by an event as well, and often the urge is, look, I need to stay home and look after mine. And these people quite selflessly tip out and put others first, which is just outstanding. And then they also provide just a really good link for us in terms of eyes and ears on the ground and feed that back into our operation centres so we know what's going on, what community's got it sorted, and which ones may need just a little bit of assistance for us. So look, from experience, we found, and when we consider the earthquakes in Canterbury or Kokoda, that we actually know that community, you know, they're the first responders quite often. They're the ones out there pulling people out of rubble, providing first aid in the first instance, and generally leaning on each other for emotional support. So when we understand that, and we certainly take that certainly weighs on our mind whenever we approach any of these activities, that look, at the end of the day, and in many instances, particularly in serious events, that these groups will be the first responders.
And there's been some good examples of that from Christchurch and wider as well.
Absolutely. So it's something that we're highly cognizant of. And in saying that, these groups can come together. And when I think of the likes of the Student Volunteer Army and how well they were able to come together, organise themselves, and what they were able to achieve was remarkable. So so certainly we're highly cognizant of sort of those arrangements and how things can come together as well.
And that as a group has gone on to do other continue its operation as a result of that forming through the Christchurch earthquakes. Student Volunteer Army involved in many events right around the country.
Absolutely. I think they were highly engaged again during COVID. I think 5 years ago we had a local event in Roxburgh where they even came through and helped clean all the silt off people's lawns there. So they're an established group now that do a lot of good.
And still very, very much community-based.
Yes.
So you mentioned about sort of the we're the ones doing providing – well, the community is the ones providing first aid to their neighbour or to themselves. So how do individuals and communities prepare and work together in these emergencies?
So, look, I would say to start with personal preparedness. You know, I really would promote or advocate for individual responsibility. You're no good to anyone else if you are not prepared yourself and you're not ready to meet the challenges that any particular emergency is posing to you. Then I'd say, look, get to know your neighbours. Social connectedness, although in New Zealand communities has been something we've taken for granted for generations, is something that in some instances now was perhaps not what it has been. So get to know your neighbours, get to know, you know, if they do need assistance, if you've got elderly neighbours, things like that, and broader than that, get to know the people in your broader community as well, beyond your neighbours. So once we understand all of those strengths and weaknesses across the broader community, you're in a better place then to understand what's around you and how you can perhaps be a part of a solution rather than a part of a problem. So that's it. And the other thing I'd say, if you want a more formal role in that we're always looking for volunteers for community response groups. So as I said before, I think we've got about 64 of those around, so quite often you can slot into an existing group, but it might be the case that your particular area doesn't have one and you might want to start one yourself. So those are all avenues that people can head down.
So who would they contact to do that?
So that we'd recommend that they'd reach out to your local councils. They could put you in contact with with the emergency management advisors there. Head to our website and make contact with us directly there, or perhaps direct message us via Facebook.
Cool.
So a couple of avenues there that that you can make contact.
Fantastic. We're going to talk further about personal and community preparedness in future programs.
Are you and your family prepared for an emergency? A household emergency plan lets everyone in your household know what to do in an emergency and how to get ready. Come on, Otago, make an online plan today. To find out more, go to www.otagocdem.govt.nz.
So you're listening to Resilient Otago, a program about natural hazards, preparing for emergencies and how we respond to them. Welcome back, Matt. What drew you into working for emergency management?
Look, I've I had a history prior to emergency management of working for a number of years for the police, and I've always had a bit of a calling towards public service. I sort of thought if you're doing a job, you might as well be doing something that can benefit the public good. And I sort of came to the end of my police career, and I sort of thought, well, what's next? What's something that I can get into at a grassroots and really, you know, assist and help the community when things are really bad or you know, communities are suffering. So I was naturally drawn to this type of work, and just for me, just an absolute no-brainer. When I saw the position came up, there wasn't a doubt in my mind that this is what I should be doing.
Great, that's really good. So so you're the group manager for Emergency Management Otago, but you're also a group controller. Can you tell us a wee bit about both of those? What is the role of the group manager, and what is a controller?
Sure. So group manager just means I manage the team of emergency management professionals day to day. We make sure that we deliver on the things that we said we're going to do working in the communities, and then I report on those things to the mayors of Otago and chief executives and others. So I deal with the day-to-day running of the team.
Right.
The second part of that of controller is a position that's defined in legislation. And as I sort of mentioned before, there are times that we need to do things around evacuations or controlling access into areas or requisition of items. And that generally has to be authorised by someone. So in a declared state of emergency, I have certain powers to then authorise things to happen. So there are a number of us in Otago, both within the district councils and the regional councils, but I hold the responsibility as a regional group controller.
So a significant role when there's a declared state of emergency, with quite a bit of responsibility there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Being prepared for emergencies is something which we all need to be. What would you like to see happen to improve hazard awareness, personal preparedness, and resilience across Otago?
Look, I think today I'd just like to probably put out a personal challenge to the listeners out there, just to take a moment, have a look at the topography and the things around you, and just take a moment to say, look, if fire or an earthquake or something were to happen, how would you deal with that? So I'd challenge them, look, think about what you're doing right now as you're listening to us. Now picture a large earthquake happening. It's just taken out all the power. The telephone communications have gone as well. Any bridges that may have existed between yourself, your loved ones, your kids at school, your home, the supermarket, those are now all impassable. What's your plan? Do your family know the plan? Have you actually discussed it? Do they know where they're heading and what's happening? So that's the one thing. Go home tonight, have it chat over dinner or whatever it might be, and just sort of say, hey, look, if this happens, we're all heading to this place. We're all going to be doing this. Just be on the same page. So that's probably, we can get very technical about all the different things that we need to do, but I'd say as a first port of call, if you can just take a moment, think about a scenario like that and what you would do, and as long as you're on the same page with your family, that's a pretty good start.
Having that conversation with families so important, and being prepared, having a plan ahead, there's, just so needed. And I think it's something which we all need to do and review it occasionally too, and just continue to mention it occasionally. This is a reminder to all of us to have that conversation tonight with our family. If someone, we've mentioned it before about community response groups, but if someone wants to get involved in response activity, what can they do and where can they find out some more information?
So look, as I said, all the information that they require about our plans and everything else is available on our website. If you just go to www.otagocdem.govt.nz, all the information is on there. You can make contact with us there as well. If you want to make contact with us through your local council, you can do that as well. Or, as I said before, maybe a direct message to us via through Facebook.
Yeah, and you can find us on Facebook, Otago CDEM. If you just search for Otago Civil Defence Emergency Management, it will come up in the search and you can find out more. Look, thanks, Matt, for coming in today. Really appreciate your time, taking time out of a busy schedule. Next month, we're going to be talking about hazards. And in particular, we're looking at ones which are going to particularly affect Otago, including floods, earthquakes and the like. So join us next time on Resilient Otago. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.